Good morning. I want to welcome everyone to Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church on this Labor Day weekend. I know we've got a lot of people traveling, so we'll make sure we remember them in prayer in just a little while. If you take your red pad, sign it, pass it down, have a record of your attendance, it would be appreciated. Just to remind everybody, we do have nursery care available. Choir rehearsals will resume Thursday, September the 10th at 7:30. And if you have blessed with a talent, soprano, alto, tenor, bass, like to join the adult choir, please see Mickey. And we also want to welcome Mickey back. She's been on vacation some. And we had Debbie, who did a nice job, but it's nice to have Mickey back. Session Council will meet Wednesday, September the 9th at 7 o'clock. The Women of the Church Luncheon is the second Thursday this month, so that will be the 10th. Then it will go back to the third Thursday, correct? Just want to make sure you get that. Daniel Pork Roast by the Deacons will be next Sunday, September the 13th. That's also going to be our annual Back to Church Sunday. And when I put something up, you'll see a different date, but it is the 13th next Sunday. And the deacons are asking if you can help with Chinese auction baskets, and also if everyone can bring a side dish next Sunday, it would be greatly appreciated. This has been advertised this year in the In Community magazine. It's a nice advertisement, so a lot of people are seeing it, so we might have a lot more people than normal. That's what we certainly hope. There's a sign-up sheet on the table in the back. And if you can help with the grillers, that's for the food and Chinese auction. And if you can help with the grilling, I'd like for you to be here between 7 and 7:30 a.m. next Sunday morning. So you can talk to Kathy Segi about that. And like I said, there's a sign-up sheet. Bible Fellowship, Tom is going to be teaching that, or leading it, more of a leading than a teaching this year. Sunday's at 9:30, beginning September the 20th. And I believe that's when we'll get back with Junior Church also. You can read about the food bank, scripture readers. Hopefully there's a sign-up sheet in the back. If not, make one, then you'll notice some new emails. Now, just a little public announcement. Sometimes the doors, even though they're shut, like on the front door, the bar is not pushed down on that left side. If you go out, always make sure that bar is pushed down. The bar was up, so all you had to do was pull on, the doors would open. Then in the fellowship hall a couple times, this one on this side, the middle door in the building, sometimes it doesn't shut right. So always, if you happen to go out that door, check it. I want to show you a little invite a friend to church announcement.
Okay, can you do this, Brad? Just do like the guy said, bring a seat, be quick. You're in, you're out. No one's going to notice.
Thank you.
Jason to church.
Come down, sir. I will tase you.
We're going to the potluck.
I'm glad you like it. That's about the fourth time I've seen it. This is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Opening hymn of praise is number 16. We praise thee, O God, our Redeemer. Amen. Let our worship continue with the prayer of confession as you find printed in your bulletin. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for hearing our prayers. We are grateful that you listen to us when we turn. Let's take a moment as we'll bow our heads and close our eyes for a personal, silent prayer of confession. Friends, believe in the good news of the gospel, for in Christ we are forgiven. Let us once again unite in our faith by reciting our traditional Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day He arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From hence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let's take a moment and greet one another. Don't know someone's name? Ask. Sponsor reading, Psalm 16, back your red hymnals, 692. 692, Psalm 16. Keep me safe, O God, for in you I take refuge.
The sorrows of that
I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night my heart instructs me. I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand. I will not be shaken. This time I invite the elder on the door with a prayer and praise request.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Our first prayer request is for Candy Binkert, and it's from Kathy Sagey, and that's Kathy's cousin, and she's a member of the church. The prayer request is that she went to rehab. Prayers she learns to maneuver to the best of her ability. May God lead her into the next chapters of her life. The next prayer request is for Jim Tagey, and that's from Bob and Patty, myself, Hall. Prayers of healing for the blood clot in Jim's arm. May the Lord give the doctors the wisdom and the knowledge to do what is best to heal him. The next request is for Amber. For strength and courage for her. Yesterday, she went to work and everybody was told no more job. So just prayers for strength, to give her strength to get a new job. Sorry. The next is a praise request. That's for Sandy Salmon, and this is from Kathy Sagey. And it's praise God for allowing her to return from the hospital with no damage to her heart, but prayers she continue to feel the love and please and peace that our Lord has to offer. And the next is a praise request for Paul and Bev Ruby, that they are blessed with 61 years of marriage this past Friday. Happy anniversary.
Just remember those who are traveling on this holiday weekend from our church and just all over the nation. And let's be in prayer for the back to church next Sunday. We'll have visitors and we'll want to be a part of our church. And also that pork roast is a success. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. Help us to rejoice and be glad within it, regardless of the circumstances of our life. Help us to look to you for guidance. Help us to open our ears to the Holy Spirit, to hear what you have to say to us. And help us to take that message and go back to our families, our places of employment, our neighborhoods, our community, and tell others about Jesus in a relationship way, or just be able to invite them to church. Thank you, Lord, for giving us the strength and the courage to do it. We pray for all these persons who have been mentioned, all these situations, all those listed in the bulletin this morning in the valley on a continuous basis, that you touch their lives as only you can. Thank you for that. That you open up your ears and you hear our prayers. Help us to open ours up to hear your word, the voices of our family, our loved ones, our church members, and our community. Guide us in all that we do. And we thank you for this wonderful prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Our next hymn preparation is a screen song, Open My Eyes. It's different from one that you may be thinking of. I'm not sure if we ever sang this. So this may be the first time. You'll hear the tune, and we'll do great.
Again, this time it's going to be better. This reading is Mark 7, verses 31 through 37. Then he returned from the region of Tyre and went through Sidon to the Sea of Galilee, through the region of the Decapolis. And then they brought to him a man who was deaf and had an impediment in his speech. And they besought him to lay his hand upon him. And taking him aside from the multitude privately, he put his fingers into his ears and spat and touched his tongue. And looking up to the heaven, he sighed and said to him, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. And his ears were opened, his tongue was released, and he spoke plainly. and he charged them to tell no one. But the more he charged them, the more zealously they proclaimed it. And they were astonished beyond measure, saying, "He has done all things well. He even makes the deaf hear and the dumb speak." Here ends the reading.
Thank you, Patty. In ancient times, it was customary for peddlers to walk in the streets with their wares, the items they had for sale, and to cry out at the top of their voice, "What do you lack?" The idea was to let people know that they were in the vicinity and also to arouse their curiosity of what the people might be selling. Coming out of the houses, they would want to know what the peddlers had. It might be something they lacked, it might be something they needed, or it might just be something that they desired. And I ask you this morning, what do you lack in your life? We may have sight and we may have hearing, but what do we lack in our lives? We need to take an honest inventory of ourselves and ask ourselves, have I found contentment in my life? Are you close enough to God to receive His guidance and strength? Are you listening to what He has to say? Have you secured peace of mind and peace of heart in your lives? You know, deciding what we lack is the first step in securing it. Christ can fulfill our needs that are physical, but more so the deepest needs of heart, of mind, of soul. The man in Mark 7 lacked the physical ability to hear, but many of us lack the spiritual ability to hear. The affliction of not listening to people, or to put it another way, the affliction of physically listening to people, yet failing to comprehend, to understand, and to come to grips with what they are really saying. It's a plague upon individuals, it's a plague upon families, and it's even a plague upon the church. Is it possible to listen to a person and yet fail to hear what they are saying? Listening is a skill. It's really something that can be acquired. I don't think it's an exaggeration to say that you could have no greater impact of the world than by closing your lips at times and opening up your ears. How can we become better listeners? Proverbs says to be quick to hear and slow to speak. I was watching a TV program the other day, and two women were talking. And one asked the other woman, "What does your husband do?" Well, said, "He works in business." And then she asked him again, something like, "No, well, what does he do in this business?" And they go about like that for a couple, you know, it seemed like a long time. And finally she says, "You know, when he comes home and he talks to me about work, I'm looking at him, I'm listening, but I'm not listening to what he says. Doesn't even really know what he does." And I know that was just a television show, but how often in our lives do we do the same thing? Jesus was returning to the region of Galilee when he entered the district of the Decapolis. There was a large crowd who brought a patient and approached Jesus. Mark says that he was deaf and had an impediment in his speech. It was the man's inability to hear that made his speech imperfect. One of the most important senses of Jesus' day, we think about it, was the sense of hearing. Jesus lived in a world of sound. This is difficult for us to comprehend, I think, because we live in both, but we're so visual. We live in a world of skyscrapers and bright lights and magnificent sights, whether it's on TV or out in nature or in the metropolis, the cities. A person who cannot hear today can still know what is happening through the miracle of television. They can see what's on television. And nowadays, you can cut on and you can see the words at the bottom of the screen. Not so really in the first century Palestine. The rather drab, colorless world of Jesus was not as much a world of vision. They didn't have the colors and everything like we have today. So important was the sense of sound that one of the predictions of the coming of the Messiah, that when he came, the deaf ears would be opened. And how many times did Jesus use the words, hear and listen? He says, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Jesus was not only concerned that people physically listen to him, but that people hear what he is saying. It was a process of spiritual hearing that Jesus was referring to when he told the disciples, I tell you these things so that hearing you might hear. The loss of hearing would be a tragic event for anyone. But not hearing what people say to us, not listening to them, is a tragedy. What we read this morning is a story of a man who couldn't hear. Let's consider the life of a man who will not hear. I cannot think of a spiritual disease that has led to more disasters, really, than this one. I'm convinced that not listening to people, really listening and hearing, failing to hear what they are actually saying, leads to divorce. It leads to families being torn apart. It leads to nations going to war. Leads to all kinds of problems in our lives. The story of the healing of a deaf and mute man is the first and foremost story of Jesus' power to heal, and therefore a confirmation that he is the Messiah. But we must not miss the message implicit in the miracle. Jesus has come to open the ears of the spiritually deaf world. One of Jesus' familiar refrains was, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Jesus agonized over people's unwillingness to hear, not only him, but the prophets that had come before him. Father and young daughter have a very strained relationship for many years. And returning from a trip, the father did something that was completely out of character for him. He brought her a necklace. When he walked into the room, he presented it to her. Completely overcome with joy and emotions that she was not used to showing towards her father, she ran out of the room. And as she did, she accidentally dropped the necklace on the floor. A few minutes later, she realized what had happened, so she goes back into the room and she looks, and the necklace is on the baby. He had taken it up off the floor, put it on the infant baby sister. And when she just looked, he said, oh, I went and gave it to her. You didn't want it anyway. He was not listening to her. So sometimes hearing is visual also. She was happy. She was not upset. She was not running away from the gift. She was not angry at him. She was happy. He wasn't listening, not truly listening. Jesus said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they will be filled. We listen to these words, but do we really hear these words? Jesus taught us to pray, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. We listen to these words of Jesus, but do we really hear them? Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. We listen to these words of Jesus once again, but do we really hear these words? Our problem, I think, sometimes is that we talk too much. We listen to the sound and love the sound of our own voice. And even when we do listen to others, we're usually thinking ahead of what we're going to say as soon as the other guy just shuts up just a little bit. You ever watch some of the news talk programs? And there'd be a 4-panel or 5-panel. They're all talking. They're all yelling. They're all trying to get what they want to say over and not listening to what the other people are saying. I think if we as Christians want to be heard in this world, if we as Presbyterians want to be heard in this nation of ours, if we as members of Glenshaw Valley want to be heard in our community, then we have to listen to what the people in the church and outside the church are trying to say to us. Too often we turn the words of Samuel, the prophet, around when he says, speak, Lord, your servant listens. And we turn it around until it reads, Lord, your servant is speaking. Over and over again, Jesus exhibited the quality of spiritual listening. One day he was teaching to a large crowd in Jerusalem when he was suddenly interrupted by the sounds of a lonely beggar named Bartimaeus. Well, the crowd heard that they was the rude interruptions of a nobody. What Jesus heard was the cry of a person in need. We listen to the news and we hear the shouting, we hear the violence, we hear the protests, all kind of horrible things going on. What we, I think, need to hear is that these are people that need to hear the voice of the shepherd, Jesus. And they need us to present Jesus to the world. As the crowd presented this deaf, mute man to Jesus, he placed his fingers in his ears and said, "Be open." With that single word, the prophecy of Isaiah had been fulfilled. A world that had always existed suddenly became real and vibrant to this man. For the first time, he heard the sound of his native language. Can you imagine what that must be like? Can't hear, boop, now you can hear. All of his life, he had seen people working in the marketplace. He had seen the children playing, but he had never been able to hear what was going on. Now, for the first time, he heard the people bartering. He heard the laughter of the children in the neighborhood. He heard cries of joy. All of his life, he had seen the temple and the Torah. Now, for the first time, he could hear. He could hear the religion of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Moses. A world that had always existed suddenly became real and vibrant to him. How life changes when you can truly hear. Story of a family that went into a restaurant and the waitress waited on the family. And looking at the young boy, she said to the little boy, "What will it be? What will you have?" The boy eagerly shouted out as quick as he could, "A hamburger, French fries, and a chocolate shake." The mother immediately interrupted. "Oh, that's not what he wants. He'll take the roast beef and a baked potato and a glass of milk." And the waitress, much to the surprise of the boy and the mother, looked at the boy and says, "What would you like on that hamburger?" The boy shouted back as quickly as he could, "Ketchup, lots of ketchup." And she said, "Well, what kind of milkshake?" "He, chocolate. I want a chocolate milkshake." The boy then turned to his parents or his mother with a big smile on his face and said, "Ain't she something? She thinks I'm real." Let me give you a fair warning. If you ever really start listening to people, people are going to become real to you. Several years ago, a pastor received a telephone call from a very distraught mother. Serious situation. The girl had locked herself in her room and was threatening suicide. She pleaded for the pastor to come over immediately. And he did, and when he came over, he talked to the teenager out of her room and separated her from all the family members and sit down to unscramble the mess. Brought her into the room with all the family to try to straighten it out. And the family members immediately started shouting at one another. Everybody was talking at the same time. Seeing that this was getting nowhere, he asked if he could see the daughter alone. He pulled her and went into a separate room. Once alone, he asked her, "Now, what's the problem?" He said, "Pastor, my family has given me everything I wanted. I have a new automobile. They sent me to a private school. They've always given me the clothes that I wanted. They've given me everything, but they've not listened to me and they've not given me their love." Today that family is hopefully and tragically divided. They were so busy shouting, they were so busy trying to get their precious side of the story across and be heard that they couldn't hear what the others were saying, especially the young girl. So each of them became like the deaf, mute, and man in this story. Because they couldn't hear, it affected their speech. They said things that didn't make any sense. And they said things that they didn't really mean. And we often do that when we're yelling and arguing. But the words cannot be taken back once spoken. So I really believe we have to start listening to one another. Husbands and wives have to start listening to what the other is saying. Parents and children have to start hearing one another. Church members have to start listening to one another. It's not always easy, but when you stop trying to hear, in a sense, I think that you stop being a family, a blood family. And when we stop listening to one another in the church, I think we stop being a family that is connected through the blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus placed his hands on this man's ears and spoke, and the deaf man could hear. We need to allow the Holy Spirit to place his hands on our ears. And our ears will be spiritually open, that we will hear truly what he is trying to say to us as individuals, as families, as church. Then and only then will we be able to hear and we'll be able to speak properly. Then we too can shout without affirmation as the crowd did this day. This man, Jesus, does all things well. He even makes the deaf to hear. If we were to contribute or continue as the Church of Glenshaw Valley, we have to listen to God. We have to listen to the Holy Spirit. We have to listen, I think, to one another. And just as important, we really have to listen if we want to grow, if we want to be here in 20 years, or even 10 years. We have to listen to what the community has to say, and we have to listen to what the needs are in the community. It cannot just be build a church and they will come anymore. The Bible says that we have to go out into the world. That's hard to do sometimes, but we have to listen. What are the needs in our community? What are the struggles that people are going through? How can we help? We need to hear their needs. We must find out what is important to them before we can reach them for Jesus. Let those who have ears hear. May God bless you. Amen. Our hymn of response, I Love You, Lord, number 80.
Hear your neighbors and your community speak to you. Now you go in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.